I'm Francesca Rhiannon, host of Writer's Voice, in-depth conversation with writers of all genres. Writer's Voice, Mondays at 10 p.m. here on WPKN 89.5 in Bridgeport.
See my own self or hear my own voice. I tuned in on the radio for hours and never heard it. I put handfuls of coins into machines and watched records turn, but the voice there was no voice of mine. I mean, it was not my voice, not the words that I hear in my own ears when I walk along and look at faces.
Our theme today for the program is...
It's premature.
I've had some big changes emotionally in the past few months that have helped me a lot to focus on, you know, those goals, those things that drive me.
The whole idea here is to have a better communication ability with our listeners and also have our listeners be able to get in touch with WPKN.
Yeah, I think in a way I just have this image of sort of like the radio station sort of gaining its content through the community. That is to say, the community, as we develop the script, which I think is a really, really great idea.
Well, we have about 40 pieces. I'm a painter and printmaker myself, and I have to look back up for a tiny bit and let you know.
Personally, I had three small sons who were school aged at that time.
Boy, so you're kind of living proof of the idea that you can generate emotions.
I'm learning. I'm in no way finished.
I'd like to encourage anyone who's listening. You know, if you have a topic, if you have some suggestions for guest speakers.
They can get a lot of information, much more than I've given.
I think student audiences and audiences of young people always make.
Yeah, you guys sound good. I think it's a good idea to actually open up the air to the listeners so that they can respond and make it more of a two-way thing.
And I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. We love PKS.
Thanks
bye-bye.
A lot.
And good afternoon. I'm Steve DiCostanzo, the general manager here at listener-supported community radio station WPKN. And once a month, I have a chance on the second Thursday of the month to talk a little bit about things having to do here at WPKN, some recent activities and some events that are planned for WPKN. I also like to invite members of the various communities that we serve to come on and give them a platform, especially a platform for nonprofit organizations. Try to spread it around through the different communities that we are active in geographically. And today's a pretty full show. So I think February in general, after the end of the year, and then January is kind of slow, and it seems like February really kicks into overdrive. And there are just a lot of activities happening for WPKN. And let me tell you a bit about how the flow of the show is going to go today. I'm going to have a couple of guests on the air with me. One gentleman, Kingsley Osei, who is the founder of Connecticut Against Violence, has an event coming up in Bridgeport. And we're going to be talking with him about his hip-hop expression of Black history. We're also going to be talking with a couple of folks from a really fine New Haven-based nonprofit called New Haven Reads. And we're also going to be talking with a curator from the Fairfield Museum and History Center about a new exhibition that is kicking off, well, tonight. They have a party, and then we also are going to talk with the director of Adam's House, which is a nonprofit based in Shelton, Connecticut. Along the way, we're going to talk about some internal activities here at WPKN. And let me start off by mentioning that, of course, we're celebrating Black History Month. All month long, a lot of our programmers are doing some customized shows along the lines of celebrating artists for Black History Month. We started off with a program called Stax versus Motown. It was actually an on-air fun drive that showed our programmers flexing our respective muscles on how best to portray the musicians of Stax and then the musicians of Motown. We raised about $4,500, and sometimes we have some fun just analyzing what record label or what band might help us raise more money. For those who were interested in the head-to-head competition, Motown ended up raising more money for WPK. In fact, it doubled the amount raised for the one day that was devoted to Stax. So that's just a little factoid there. Coming up, we have our Music on Film series this month, and we have a really intriguing artist that we are showcasing, the one and only Fela Kuti, a Nigerian musician who has long passed, but was incredibly influential, not only in the cultural spheres of Africa, but obviously musically, he was the creator of the entire field of Afro beat music. And this is a documentary called Finding Fela that came out about 2 years ago. And if you don't know this artist, do yourself a favor. It's a fine documentary, and it's just one of those larger-than-life human beings who lived, happened to be very, very controversial. And you'll see what I'm talking about if you come out to the Bijou Theater. And that film is going to be next week, Thursday, February 21st. And as we always do, we have doors at 6. We have a beer tasting courtesy of Two Roads Brewing Company. And we'll have some Fela Kuti music, not only some of the Afrobeat stuff, but also he was a pioneer in a sound called high life music that came before more in the late 50s and 60s. Now, we also are going to be cooperating once again with a interesting record store based here in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and also a film restoration company called Vinegar Syndrome. It's actually one and the same. They're in the same location. And it's our Black Action Film Festival that showcases some films that have been provided to us by Vinegar Syndrome and the Archive. So the building is at 118 Congress Street. It's across from the Bridgeport bus terminal. And it's going to be on Saturday, February 23rd. It's the Black Action Film Festival benefit for WPK, and it's all donations at the door. There'll be some refreshments, and we're showing two movies at 2 p.m., Death Force, and at 4 p.m., The Human Tornado, starring the one and only Rudy Ray Moore. He was a featured actor in our last 2 years that we presented, 1 year at Lyric Hall in New Haven, and last year we started at the Archive. So hope to see you out at that event. Also, I wanted to mention that we have received a very fine grant from the state of Connecticut, close to $7,000 grant that we wrote as part of the State of Connecticut Arts Endowment Fund. And this year, 166 organizations shared in a total of $786,000 based on an interest earnings from this Arts Endowment Fund. And we wrote this grant, and a lot of it's based on increased fundraising from year to year. Usually what happens if you have a banner year of raising a lot more money for your nonprofit compared to the prior year, chances are that you're going to get a little bit more in terms of the grant. This year happens to be it's more than doubled our previous grants. So we wanted to thank, again, the State of Connecticut Arts Endowment Fund. An event that's happening this weekend that WPCAN is has been involved with for a number of years, and it's one of our real great cultural calendar events, is the Midwinter Book Sale that takes place in Southport, Connecticut, at the Pequot Library. Beautiful library, absolutely gorgeous. Lots of books, lots of CDs, lots of records, DVDs, you name it, they have it. What we're doing is, as far as participating in this two-day event, is Mark Naftalin, who is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and happens to be a WPKN programmer. He was one of the members of the Butterfield Blues Band, and every year he plays live at this Midwinter Book Sale. We're going to be doing a live remote of his group, Mark Naftalin and Friends, each day, Saturday and Sunday, this weekend from 1 until 2:30. And he brings a real amazing lineup of local blues musicians. It's all acoustic, so it's not a high-volume deal. Almost everybody is playing acoustic guitar, acoustic bass. Mark Naftalin is on the piano. They have a beautiful grand piano, one of the finest in the country, according to Mark. And Mark has played a lot of grand pianos around the country. So that is our annual broadcast, Mark Naftalin and Friends, on WPKN Radio this Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. each day. Now, I think what I'm going to do at this point is, before I get to our talk about the Record Riot and John Bastone, who we're going to just get on the phone briefly, and it's our whole Music Mash event, I want to have Kevin Gallagher talk a little bit about his project that he has brought in. We're developing an environmental movie series, and Kevin has selected a first feature for us. So let me bring in Kevin, and we will hear a little bit about Symbiotic Earth. Report to the listeners, and I've got Kevin Gallagher on the phone, one of our WPKN programmers, who also you may know his show Digging in the Dirt. And we decided to expand the film series programming that we do here at WPKN. Kevin came to us and said that he wanted to expand it into the world of environmental films. And so you're kicking off your first film that you've selected, Kevin, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's Symbiotic Earth, a film by a director named John Feldman. And it's about a really interesting woman named Lynn Margulis. She was a scientist, biologist, a real forward-thinking person, and has a, you know, a really interesting story to tell in about three different ways. Mm. One as a woman, one as a scientist, and one as somebody interested in the planet Earth and its systems. And it's incredible because she was the number one thing, a woman. She was a mother, a scientist, a thinker, and a feminist. She was married to Carl Sagan for a brief period of time.
That's interesting.
And it was about scientific community, too. As a woman, she was really up against a wall of male-dominated profession, and she was trying to shake some of the foundations of what the scientists believed in the world of evolution. Hmm. She came up with a whole other way of thinking about it, and the way organisms live together symbiotically on this planet. That's the thing that she felt was important. Neo-Darwinist, in short, think that it's genetic. She said, no, it's organisms living together and exchanging information and learning how to live together that they went forward that way and became what we are today.
Right. So, again, it's a Symbiotic Earth. It's going to be at the Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport. It's Tuesday, March 5th. And we're going to have the movie screening at 7 p.m. The doors will open at 6 p.m. And it's a $12 ticket, $7 for students. And I know that there's been a lot of outreach to schools and earth science departments. And you've reached out to some of the different nonprofits that are involved in this area. Talk a little bit about some of the outreach and some of the groups that you've been working with.
Well, you know, it's just basically people I interview on my program, Green Village Initiative, and a lot of the different people that work in the area, you know, NOFA. And
for our listeners, NOFA is that's a group that has been on PCAN airwaves a few times, but it's
sure.
They have a their yearly meeting. Is that coming up also in Bridgeport?
Yeah, that's coming up at the end of the month, and the 23rd, right at Housatonic College in Bridgeport. So it was the first time they've come down to Bridgeport.
It's a large organic farming, organic living nonprofit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They. It's called the Northeast Organic Farmers Association. They're one of the originals, and you know they're all over the Northeast, the chapters, and we have a very strong one here in Connecticut.
And I imagine that some of their membership will come out on March 5th to see this again. Symbiotic Earth, it's on the poster here, it says how Lynn Margulis rocked the boat and started a scientific revolution. So
she was really interesting. She said, believe it or not, this is what she said, I left my job as a wife twice. Not humanly possible to be a good wife, a good mother, and a first-class scientist. Something has to give. She exhibits not a shred of anger or regret during this movie of about 2.5 hours long. So be prepared, folks. And we'll have a little break in the middle to use the facilities and stuff. But she faced a lot of challenges as a woman and as a scientist and a widely original thinker back in the 60s. And now here in 2020, you know, just about, she is having her ideas fully accepted by the scientific community. It's pretty amazing. Mm. And she was resilient against a lot of pushback.
Yeah. And the movie itself is going to be sponsored by WPKN's Digging in the Dirt, which Kevin Gallagher hosts, and also the Organic Farm Stand that has been an ongoing program here for a number of years. Other reasons or takeaways from the movie, since I know you've seen it, what is another reason? Because,
well, you know, it's there's one fact that I gleaned from this that was very interesting, that all species consume resources for food, and they also exude then some waste, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one species waste is another's food. That's a really interesting concept. It's a cycle.
Symbiotic
right, it's a relationship between species.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem, of course, is an exception these days, is the human species, because we also have waste that other bugs and animals and they would gladly consume and turn into compost, for instance, but there's stuff that we produce, mainly plastics, chemicals, and excessive amounts of carbon that the plants can't process for us because they do a good job of sequestering carbon back into the soil. But there's so much of it, we're in trouble. Our systems are in trouble, and that's what this movie resonates with. That this is all about how the systems work, give you a really good, solid scientific basis, and then when you realize this is how it works, mankind is not doing a good job living symbiotically on their planet.
Well, it should be a really interesting film. And again, it says here on the some of the materials, it says, for everyone who cares about mankind, the Earth, and the future of both. So I guess with that as a proclamation,
well,
sounds
like
a good film.
I would encourage everyone to come out and enjoy a great evening of filmmaking about subjects we're all interested in. It's going to challenge you intellectually, and you're going to go away thinking about it and talking about it. And it's a good night to gather as a community of people with a shared view of our world and a shared concern for the survival of our planet.
Excellent.
So there's a lot of good things going on in this film that are worth seeing.
Great. Well, again, we've been talking with Kevin Gallagher, who is a WPKN programmer. I'm sure you recognize his voice. And he's also decided to try to broaden our film series into a new direction that really relates more to ecological issues and the environment. And to your point, if we get a really nice response, I'm sure there will be other films that would be shown at the Bijou Theater as well. So I hope that we get a good turnout on Tuesday, March 5th. Again, it's as you say, it's a great community event, and we're all in this together. So I hope that this really is it resonates with a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, come on down and meet other people that are doing great things in their own areas. And if you're doing great things, we want to know about it also.
Great.
Just so the same things we have on my radio show, Digging in the Dirt.
Super. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Take care.
We'll take a quick music break. We'll be right back.
Well, maybe we won't take a music break because we're a little short on time today. We've got a pretty full schedule. So thank you, Kevin, for talking about the film Symbiotic Earth that we're going to be showing in the early part of the month of March. But wanted to get that in because we won't have a GM report before that time. I'm joined in the studio now by Kingsley Osei. He's been here before in WPKN talking about the same event that is an annual event. And it's definitely something that I think is so appropriate during Black History Month as well. Kingsley is the founder of Connecticut Against Violence and a producer of an event that's happening on February 23rd, a Saturday. It's called A Hip-Hop Expression of Black History. And it is just loaded up with an incredible amount of hip-hop artists, some huge names that, Dr. Dre is on this, Granddaddy, and Van Silk, Grand Mixer DXT. There's a panel discussion, and it's panel discussion is about hip-hop and gun violence. So maybe, Kingsley, just talk a little bit about how this came into fruition, this hip-hop expression of Black history. And welcome again.
Thank you very much for having me here again, Steve, my dear friend, home of University of Bridgeport, the lab, right?
Indeed.
Well, hip-hop expression of Black history, you know, self-explanatory. Hip-hop is an expression of Black history. It's Black History Month, and hip-hop is a Black historic music and needs to be celebrated. So it came along where we brought it into the Margaret Moore in East Center, and this is something really spectacular because we are actually the first to do a hip-hop event of that caliber embraced. Mm-hmm. At the government center, and you're going to see this being done in different parts of the country. We are actually using this event also as a way to curb gun violence, educating the youth as to what this music culture was founded on, which was love, peace, unity, and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I remember that song.
Yes. And in the
was that the Sugar Hill Gang?
Yes. And in the past to the present, we've been fortunate to have all the pioneers and the legends of the culture, because history was not written correctly. You know, now history is real time with social media and everything.
Right.
Back then, they couldn't document what they were doing. So, you know, what you read on Wikipedia or whatever is not necessarily the truth. So this event gives people the opportunity to hear from the real people how the culture was founded.
Now, is this a ticketed event, or is it free, or how does this work?
No, this is free $99.
Okay.
The event is free to all, and we advise parents to bring their youth.
Okay,
to
family-friendly.
It's a family-friendly event.
Yeah, and the hours are 11 a.m. till 3 p.m., and again, it's you mentioned it's at the Margaret Morton Government Center, which is right downtown in Bridgeport on Broad Street. People should know now that if you're listening, and there's sometimes confusion about the parking and on the on-street parking, it's free.
It
is free now on Saturdays again.
Yes, and we also going to have a parking right across from our sponsors, Housatonic Community College.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah, so you could park in the Housatonic Community College.
Oh, well, that you mean the garage?
Yeah, garage.
Oh, so
yeah.
that's a no-brainer then. Kingsley, thanks for coming in. I think it's going to be quite interesting. Art exhibition, breakdancing, performances, workshops. And
if you could give me a minute to just go down the line. You mentioned Sugar Hill Gang, and Sugar Hill Gang will be celebrating their 40th anniversary since the release of Rapper's Delight. So this is really a big deal. You mentioned Dr. Dre. Let's be clear. Is Dr. Dre or formerly Yo MTV?
Mm-hmm.
So there, you know, it's not Dr. Dre from, it's the rapper.
Right. I see.
We got Ralph McDaniels, who was from Video Music Box. We got Sal Abatello of Fever Records. We got Tragedy Gaddafi, who was known as the Intelligent Hoodlum. Cormega. We got Cool DJ Red Alert, whom you may know, Raheem from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Yep.
Ernie Pendicola is a hip hop Hall of Fame inductive photographer. Fly Ty, who's the owner of who was the founder of Coachland Record and also the producer of Mr. Magic and Rap Attack Show with Molly Mall. Al Pizarro, founder of Hip Hop Boulevard. Steve Cass, who is also an official Disney cartoonist. Scratchmaster Jazzy G.
That's Jazzy G.
Yeah, Jazzy G. Yep.
Yeah.
You got T-Money, who was also a host of UMTV.
Mm-hmm.
Granddaddy IU, if you guys remember Granddaddy IU, something new from Grandmam and Daddy. Y'all remember that? All right, Mr. Wave from New York City Breakers. Tembisha Mishaka, you guys got to Google her. I can't even tell you. It's too much to tell you about her. Van Silk, and then you got Grandmixer DXT. Grandmixer DXT will also be hosting a masterclass, Syncing Music to Film.
Nice.
And he was the you also know him from the Defiant Ones, and
cool.
He's a 2-time Grammy Award winner.
Well, right? it's a full even though it's 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., I don't know how you're going to get it all done in 4 hours.
And let me not be mistaken, we're also doing a panel discussion on hip-hop and gun violence with News 12, Senator Blumenthal, the mayor, and the chief of police.
What time is that going to be?
That is a private event with all the participants.
I see.
So that's going to be around 11 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, when the doors open, there'll be an event going on in the main room.
Oh, so that's an invitation-only type event,
yes,
more or less.
It's kind of,
Good. Right. Well, right. Again, Kingsley Osei with the 4th Annual A Hip-Hop Expression of Black History. A great day in hip hop, as it says here. Panel discussion, art exhibition, and lots of good things. If you want to get more information, I guess the best place to go is on Facebook. Is that?
Facebook, Kingsley Osei, is the best way to find me. Okay, now shout out to Jennifer Edwards, assisting me with this event. And thank you very much, Steve. And big shout out to Louis, my graphic artist designer.
Excellent. Good. Well, good luck with your event on February 23rd.
Thank you.
Take a quick music break and be back with John Bastone. Talk a little bit about our big Music Mash event coming up on March 2nd. Stay tuned. Okay, back we are on the GM report to the listeners for the month of February, and I wanted to welcome John Bastone to the studios. John, are you there?
I'm here, Steve.
Good. Very good. I mean, we are working full speed ahead. I was going to ask our listeners out there how many of them have actually seen the big Music Mash billboard on I-95. It was pretty exciting to get that.
Well, I know I have seen it, and I was very excited.
Oh, you did see it. Excellent. Okay, because you're down in Westchester, right?
Yeah, so. But I'm all over the map hunting for records all the time.
Yes, of course. Well, John is one of the heads of Record Riots, a group that does a lot of the kind of operational efforts behind Music Mash Record Fair 2019. It'll be again at Reed's Art Space at 1042 Broad Street. It's just a perfect place for a record show. It's a large white-walled gallery with track lighting. We have WPKN DJs will be spinning. We actually have some live rockabilly for an hour set as well. We've got a band coming over from Long Island. And it we get about 1,000 people. It's really just a blast every year. We have around 50 record dealers from all over New England. And I like to say that it's the largest one-day record fair in New England. Unless you can think of a bigger one for one day.
It's probably safe to say it is the premier record collector's event in at least Connecticut and probably in the New England area.
Well, and it's great to have you on board. John, any trends out there in terms of vinyl? I mean, I actually pulled one quick factoid that it said that vinyl sales have grown 60% in Canada. Vinyl sales it's a similar growth in the U.S. It says that 7 million vinyl LPs were sold in the U.S. during the first half of 2018. And that, let's see, what else? Vinyl and CD sales were bigger than music download sales in 2017.
Yeah, well, it is going that way right now. You know, of course, look, I'm a music lover before anything else. Long before I was ever in the business, I'm a record collector and a music lover in general more than anything else. And anything that has more people listening to more music in more different kinds of ways is something that I love to hear. But the one thing I will say is when you quote those figures about the statistics, you know, that's really, really way off in a low direction, because I think that really only takes into account the sales of new vinyl.
Right.
I mean, there's so much more used vinyl.
Yeah, not the aftermarket stuff.
New vinyl. So records, the record trend is even a lot bigger than those statistics show.
I would agree. And, you know, we've been calling record shops today. Some of the folks here are volunteers at PKN. There's about 18 shops in our listening area, which is very impressive, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and so they're all, you know, participating because our event is a one-day event. And, of course, they're open 365 days. Now, maybe a quick snapshot on a couple of the types of vendors that are coming, because they're really an eclectic group. But what are some of the kind of different merchandise that is for sale? Because it's not just vinyl.
Oh, yeah, you're kind of putting me on the spot because I don't have my list in front
of me. Well, I mean, just...
Really, you know, look... just in the records, you have LPs and 45s, and some guy, you know, there's even a few guys who bring 78s, and you know, you'll have expensive stuff and collector stuff and cheaper stuff, and then you know, I did mention 45s, but there's also CDs. You know, I'm sure if you look hard, there's guys with there's a guy with rock T-shirts.
Yep. I mean, you know, a lot of merchandise. I've seen, you know, books.
Yeah,
I see people bringing some posters in the past.
Anything that's music-related is fair game at the show, for sure. Right. And, you know, that's my job, Steve. Why do you bring me in?
That's right.
I'm trying to get the greatest range of vendors that I can, covering all different kinds of merchandise and, you know, all price ranges and for every kind of taste. You know,
right.
Like I said, that's the... That's why you bring the Record Riot guys.
That's right. Again, talking with John Bastone, who is one of the principal founders of Record Riots, and they do shows all over the tri-state area. And we partner with them on the big daddy of them all, Music Mash Record Fair. Again, it's March 2nd, Saturday, at the Reed's Art Space. Once again, it's our sixth annual event, which is amazing. And John, you've been with us from the very beginning.
Yeah,
so proud of that.
It's great to see it grow every year.
Yeah. Now, just so you know, it's a family-friendly event. This is not one of these kind of hardcore academic events where people are, you know, it's just only collectors. I mean, we make it a lot of fun because we've got the music and we have lots of different types of merchandise. There's an early bird special for those passionate collectors that want to have first crack at all the merchandise. It's from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. It's $20 entry for that. You're going to get a WPKN bag and you're going to get like a little goodie bag as well in that bag from some of the different merchants that we're working with. And the regular admission is just $7 for adults, and if you're under 12, it's free. So and $5 for students. That's from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. So looking forward to getting this up and running. I mean, I we have two more weeks, but John, thanks for all your help, and we'll talk again.
We'll be talking a lot very soon.
Okay, great.
All right, have a great day, Steve.
All right, John. Bye-bye. Yeah, and I just want to give you an update on Music MASH. So let's take a quick break. We'll bring in some of our nonprofit guests for the second half of the show. So do stay tuned. Thanks. Okay, back we are on the GM Report to the listeners for the month of February. I'm Steve DeCostanzo, and I think we're going to turn the second half of this program into a couple of opportunities to talk with nonprofit organizations in the area. And there, I've got two coming up, and then a third, the Fairfield Museum has been in before, but this is the first for New Haven Reads, and I'm happy to have Fiona Bradford, who is the Development and Communications Director, and also Carrie Humphreys, who's the Outreach Director of New Haven Reads. And welcome to WPKN.
Thank you so much.
It's a little bit like family, because one of our great volunteers here is also a volunteer for your organization.
Yes,
so he kind of put this together, and I've always heard really good things about this organization. You seem to be doing really important work. So perhaps we can just start off. I don't know who wants to take a lead on this, but I guess. Maybe talk a little bit about the background, the history of New Haven Reads, how it came into existence, and what your mission is as a nonprofit.
Sure. So we got started 17 years ago. Our founder wanted to help increase availability of books for folks in New Haven, and we continue to do that work. We give away over 100,000 books a year, and she was, you know, had this little book bank. She was giving away books and started to help a small family with their homework, the kids' homework after school. And that just kept growing and growing. Now we tutor over 500 students a week who are struggling with reading at four locations in New Haven.
And the locations are in based in schools, or
we have physical sites in New Haven. So we've got one right off 95, so really easy as you're kind of driving towards New Haven. And we're trying to be very neighborhood based.
Yeah.
So the kids come to our sites specifically.
And then you have a lot of volunteers that are actually from the community that are helping with the reading.
Absolutely.
Aspects.
So
I mean, is that really kind of the brunt of who's performing some of the reading activities is really volunteers?
It's absolutely volunteer driven. We have a team of over 400 volunteers coming from across the greater New Haven area. We work with high school students, retirees, and everyone in between. Everyone gives at least an hour a week, and volunteers get to pick the day, the time, the age group they want to work with. And then we support those tutors with training and resources during their hour with their student.
And how do you go about outreach? How do you find new volunteers? Obviously, a show like this that's one of the intentions is that I'd like to help. You know, WPKN would like to help support your efforts. So,
thank you.
Yeah,
this is great for us. So, doing things like this, we operate a lot by word of mouth. Our tutors' experience is, you know, sharing with their friends and with their neighbors and coworkers has really helped us grow. So that's been huge for us, word of mouth. And then we're really fortunate to be in New Haven, which is just a big college town. town, so we are able to network with a lot of universities as well.
And the students that you serve, maybe you mentioned that, is it K through 12 type of thing, or is it also adult programming and those who have English as a second language, that type of thing?
So we work with kids in the one-on-one program from first through 12th grade. So okay. Any student in that grade range who's struggling with reading qualifies for our one-on-one program. We do also offer pre-K and kindergarten classes for 4 and 5-year-olds as well. So our youngest are 4, our oldest are 18.
And will you integrate into the actual school system at that point, or is it always off-site then at your own facilities?
Always off-site.
Okay.
We do work together with schools to support the students, but the kids come to our program, our sites for programming.
And since there might be people out in our listening audience that would be interested in becoming a volunteer for New Haven Reads, what are some of the responsibilities that you look for, or how much time, what kind of time commitment is there for people to get involved with you guys?
So to become a tutor, we just need someone who's interested in working with kids and who loves to read. And all we ask for is an hour a week. Okay. So we tutor after school and evening hours. So you'll find us weekdays starting at 3 o'clock and running until 6 or 7 p.m. And each tutoring session starts at the top of the hour. So a lot of our volunteers come in 3 or 4 o'clock and stay for a couple of hours. But the minimum commitment is 1 hour a week.
And what would be a good way for those who are listening right now to this program to reach out via email, perhaps, or
email is the best way to get in touch. Okay. Volunteer at newhavenreads.org. You can send me an email, and I'll respond as soon as I can.
Yeah. So and so the website itself is newhavenreads.org.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Any fundraising activities in terms of how do you guys how are you funded primarily?
So our budget is about $900,000 a year, and about half of that money comes from private contributions. So we have people in the community who support us. Mm-hmm. But we also get some state money and some City of New Haven CDBG funding, and we get just a bunch of foundation grants as well. Yeah. So we spend a lot of time working on raising our budget every year. Mm-hmm. And we have one kind of signature event every year, which is in October, which will be our Spelling Bee, which is very mission appropriate. We have, it's not a spelling bee like the Scripps Spelling Bee. It is teams of 3 work together to spell the word, and they write down the word. And we get the money from that from people who sponsor, and teams participate, paying to participate. And it's actually a really fun event. It's a 2-hour event, and it happens every October. So,
where do you hold that usually?
We actually hold it at the Yale School of Management, which is across from the Peabody Museum, and they've got a really nice auditorium.
Right.
So people dress up. Most of our teams dress up in costumes, and they all come up with creative team names. It's a good event.
And when they come up with costumes based on their favorite books or something?
Sometimes, or bees, or the Beatles. They change all the names. we always get a team from the study at Yale, and they come up with crazy things every year. One year they were punctuation, and they were all dressed up as punks.
Wow.
And that was awesome. So there's a lot of creativity out there.
There are age brackets. Is that how you
We do. It's all adults, and we have one high school round. So everybody.
I see. So these are all okay.
Yeah, these are all, and everybody seems to love the opportunity to dress up. It's very competitive. People are studying, but we also have prizes for best name, best team, costume, and that kind of thing. So if you're not successful at the spelling part, you can be successful in other ways.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, actually. Yeah, it's a great event. So this will be our 8th one.
Do you have pictures of the event up on your website?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
I'll
go to those pages. I didn't find those pages yet, but I'd like to see. That's very clever. It was a great event for fundraising.
It is. It's, as we said, mission appropriate, because we're all about sharing the joy and power of reading. So spelling is part of that.
Well, thank you for coming in. It was nice to have you here in the studio. We're really happy to have John working here as a volunteer, and I know John is very passionate about working with New Haven Reads as well. So, again, Fiona Bradford, Development and Communications Director, and Carrie Humphreys, the Outreach Director of New Haven Reads. And thanks again for joining us here on the GM Report.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, back we are on the GM report to the listeners for the month of February, and I'm joined in the studio by Lori Pastriak-Lamar, who is the curator of the Fairfield Museum and History Center in Fairfield, Connecticut, and they have a new exhibition called Make Your Mark. And if I am correct, I think tonight, in fact, is the kickoff of this event. So welcome to the WPKN studios. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here.
Yes. You were got the nice tour, right, of the vinyl records. And it's always a shocker for a lot of people when they come in. They're kind of blown away by, since, you know, you are working with a museum. We're kind of like a museum of music here.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite places to visit. Yeah. All of the albums always just blow my mind.
Yeah. Now, Make Your Mark is the name of the exhibit. And somewhere I had made a note that it was summarized in a pretty nice format here. If I can, let's see if I can find where that note was. And if I can't, I can't. But it was, maybe it's just easier if you explain what that means from the creative expression of making your mark and how you've curated this exhibition at the museum.
Absolutely. So Make Your Mark is about exploring the way that we leave our legacy on the world. So, of course, that could go from anything from political leadership to things we actually tangible create.
Mm-hmm.
But also the way, perhaps if you're not allowed to make your mark, what does that do and how is that represented? From anything from artistic expression to Liz Squalici, who's her painted steps here in Bridgeport,
sure.
We're featuring her work. Also, John Paul O'Grodnick, who is a mural graffiti artist, who's actually a Bridgeport native, is featured in the show. And Frankie Frieri of Three Roses Tattoo Studio.
Hmm.
So we have some contemporary pieces, but we also have some historic places from the both 17th century and, you know, up until probably, you know, 50 years ago.
Interesting. So you're highlighting three particular artists, I guess, in you know, specifically that
contemporary artists.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then you've got a lot of artifacts from the past. Well, yeah, those are fascinating artists, and it's interesting. I don't know, Frankie from Bridgeport as well? Or?
I know he's from the region. I wasn't sure if he was Fairfield or Bridgeport.
But it is always, it's just, again, to remark on the kind of the creative class of Bridgeport is definitely leading the way.
Oh, it's one of my favorite communities to work with.
And, you know, everything about it, and Liz Squalici has been doing some great stuff. And then tonight, I think you had Christopher Cavalier is going to be playing.
Yeah, Christopher Cavalier is going to be doing our awesome music for our event from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. tonight.
And
free!
Henna Tattoo Artists and the whole thing. Well, you guys have done a lot of work. This is, would you say that this is an unusual type of show for you, or is this, you know, you always come up with so many interesting, innovative types of historical things, and you've been involved in doing other curatorial work?
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for a couple of years then?
Yeah, I've been at the Fairfield Museum 4 years this coming March, April. And it's such a fun opportunity to weave history into present day.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those subjects that a lot of people really just can't get into because of the textbooks from elementary school. But when you really think about it, so much of history is weaved through what we do today, where we walk, where we live. So it's so much fun to weave those fun artistic elements through life.
Were you involved for the 60s?
Absolutely.
Oh, you did that as well? That was fabulous. Yeah. That was
thank you.
Yeah, really well done. And we had you had that wall of vinyl records that was kind of a great snapshot too.
Bright and fun. And you know,
all the clothing. The clothing was fabulous from the 60s.
Thank you. We have a great team at the Fairfield Museum.
That's great. So about tonight, is it open to the public, the kickoff for the show?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We, you know, come enjoy some drinks by our favorite Bigelow Tea.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, you know, come grab a henna and hang out and listen to some wonderful music by Chris. And it's really going to be a wonderful time. And, you know, it's almost like a Valentine's Day happy hour. Come and share the love, right?
Sure, why not? Exactly. And the show is going to be up for up through July 14th, is that right?
Yes, February 14th, opening tonight.
Okay.
And through July 14th.
Excellent. And the Fairfield Museum and History Center, for those of you listening, it's at 370 Beach Road. And the hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And tonight is the kickoff. And that kickoff is, once again, the hours are from 5 to 7. And thank you, Laura Pashiak-Lamar, the curator of the Fairfield Museum and History Center, for coming in today and telling us a little bit about the concept of making your mark. I think it's one of those shows that it's conceptual. I think you have to go and see it and be absorbed by it.
It is bright, and you know, you gotta at least come check out John's mural in person. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Good. Thanks for coming into the studios.
Thanks for supporting
us. All right. Good. Okay, and back we are with our last guest for this episode of the GM Report to the Listeners. I'm Steve DiCostanzo from WPKN Radio. We're a community radio station, nonprofit, 55-year tradition of being on the cutting edge of things. And I wanted to bring in our last and final guest, Allison Wysota, who is the executive director of Adams House, a nonprofit in Shelton. And we have not talked before, so
no.
I'm glad that you could come in.
Thanks
and
for having me.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about Adams House since you founded it, and tell us a little bit about the mission and why you created it.
Sure. So Adams House, our mission is that any child and family looking for grief support following the death of a loved one should get it. Insurance should not impede the chance to get support. So we offer peer-to-peer grief support for children ages 5 through 18. The parents remain on site, so they get support as well. But we have three different groups, and so kids are broken down into littles, middles, and teens. Mm-hmm. And I founded it because 7 years ago, my husband Adam passed away unexpectedly. My sons were 11, 16, and 21 at the time. Mm-hmm. They all grieved really differently, and the one piece that they really struggled with was they wanted to talk to other kids that were right. going through what they were going through and get support from their peer group and mm-hmm. know that how they were feeling could be validated by those peers.
You've come up with some sort of a multi-week journey, it's called, a grief journey,
right.
called Helping Hearts Heal.
Correct.
And is that something that you helped to put together, or how is that constructed?
So in my search for finding services for my children, and most services were very therapy-oriented, I came across actually an organization called Olivia's House in York, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And when I went to meet with her, I just fell in love with the program she developed. Her name's Leslie Delp, and she became this wonderful mentor mm-hmm. of mine. And she, kind of walked me every step of the way. She's like, I'll help you bring this to Connecticut because you're going to help kids that I can't
sure.
reach. So she developed this program. This program has been around for 20 years, and Adams House is bringing it to the children of Connecticut.
Right. Well, good for you. It's sounds like an amazing place, really, because you restored a house as well in Shelton.
Yes, and then that was important for us as well. We didn't want these children to feel like something was wrong with them because they were getting support.
Mm-hmm.
So the house is very comfortable, and the rooms are painted in different themes, and we have this beautiful kitchen. And so every program night starts with a meal, and one of the things that we really kind of hope to create is a sense of community and a community for these families going through a very difficult time.
Hmm. Well, again, it's called Adam's House, and it's located in Shelton, Connecticut. And what's the a good place for information? Obviously, maybe you could tell us what the website is.
Sure. Yeah. All visit. Our information is located at adamshousect.org.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of our volunteers was here today when I was talking to her this morning, and I mentioned that you were going to be coming in. Yeah. She mentioned that her mother had actually set up a similar house in Tampa, Florida.
Oh,
and now you
really?
mentioned the house that was in
Pennsylvania. Yes.
So I guess there are houses like this around the country,
sure,
that are kind of personally, you know, created out of the grieving process.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. We're realizing...
So there's a whole network of them,
yeah,
perhaps.
So National Alliance for Grieving Children, there's okay. a list across the country. Mm. So even if you might have family not in Connecticut, you can kind of go on their website, and you can look up other organizations. But, you know, we're realizing that, you know, the same feelings that we feel as adults, the children are struggling with too. And, you know, children grieve through playing. So we as adults might look at them and they look fine, but they're really struggling, you know, with those thoughts, and they really need a place to kind of talk and connect and process their loss.
Well, thank you for the great work that you're doing there in Shelton with Adam's House.
Thank you.
And again, we're talking with Allison Wasota, who is the executive director and founder of this nonprofit. And thank you for coming in to the studios.
You.
And I think we're going to record a PSA for your organization.
Terrific.
So that we can run that here on a complimentary basis. Because
so nice.
we like to offer opportunities for nonprofits to tell their story as well. So thank you for coming in, and that will do it for this month's GM Report to the Listener. Robin Bateau is coming up next, and that's always going to be a fine show. Robin was in yesterday pulling some new music, and he's got great stories to tell, and he plays some great music. So that's coming up next on WPKN, a full day of programming as usual. So thank you again, and have a good Valentine's Day, and we'll see you next month on the GM Report to the Listeners. I'm Steve DeCostanzo. And I will cut this as a podcast as well. If you missed a portion of it, you can hear it and download it.
Comes from Fairfield University's Quick Center for the Arts, presenting Radicals in Miniature on Saturday, February 23rd and Sunday, February 24th. Ayne Gordon and Soap Percussion's Joss Quillen conjure the elegies of those who impacted latter 20th century alternative culture, including John Sex and Sylvester. Details and ticket information at fairfield.edu/tickets or through the box office at 203-254-4010.
Coming to the Pequot Library in Southport, it's the Midwinter Book Sale on Saturday and Sunday, February 16th and 17th, 9 to 5 each day. Mark Naftalin and friends will host a live WPKN broadcast from the book sale from 1 to 2:30 each day. Stars of the weekend include singing guitarists Paul Gabriel of Blue in the Face and J.D. Seam of the Blue Tones, singing blues harp players Manny Folio of the Mojomatics and Mark Zaretsky of the Cobalt Rhythm Kings, from Otis and the Hurricanes, singing guitarist Chris Otis Cross, and Smoking Joe Najmi, the singing accordionist and piano man. Also appearing, sax master Crispin Cio of the Uptown Horns, Daniel J., the modern blues man on harp, guitar, and vocals, and on washboard percussion, harp, and vocals, Peter Menta of Washboard Slim and the Blue Lights. Mark Naftalin will play piano solos and will be joined in the rhythm section by David Anastasia and David Bobo Lavornia on bass. And on drums and percussion, Matt Modell and Barry Urich. That's the Midwinter Book Sale at Southport's Pequot Library, Saturday and Sunday, February 16th and 17th, 9 to 5 each day, with the WPKN live musical broadcast starting each day at 1 o'clock.
As WPKN celebrates Black History Month, we present the documentary film Finding Fela on Thursday, February 21st at the Bijou Theater in downtown Bridgeport. Finding Fela tells the story of Fela Kuti's life, his music, his social and political importance.